An armada of slab-sided warships glided in geosynchronous orbit 1,000 kilometers over Fahl's equator, diverse heraldries proclaiming their masters. Bleached by harsh sunlight, unfiltered by atmosphere, the yellow and silver, black, blue, crimson, white and grey of each Space Marine chapter was nevertheless clear, defiant of the star's glare. Void deep shadow cut mysterious shapes onto the towering superstructures high on the ship's spines. A million lights shone from their flanks. The craft were larger than cities. Thousands dwelled within them, living out lives devoted to war. Great gun mores issued silent challenges to the fathomless interplanetary night. Hangar bays were black slots glimmering with coherence fields, ready to launch the vengeance of the Emperor at the foes of the Imperium. Still, Courland feared it would not be enough. He counted and recounted the ships, calculating the combined strength of arms arrayed above the world. Ship tonnage, munition payloads, fighter groups, armed bondsmen, serfs and ship crews, all of it, not only the number of Adeptus Astartes, although they were the group he counted and recounted the most. Each time the mathematics of war came up short. The greatest number of Space Marines gathered in one place since the time of the scouring, and still it was pitiful in the face of the orcish threat.
"Truly it is a sight to stir the hearts of men."
"It is, Brother Issachar," said Courland.
He moved away from the window to greet the chapter master of the Excoriators as he entered the observation deck. The mark of their shared heritage was clear to see. The fist that adorned Issachar's dull white pauldron was the same as that upon Courland's yellow armor, but it was a kinship sundered. The ways of the Sons of Dawn had diverged. Issachar's fist was red, not black, and gripped in its fingers a doubled lightning bolt of yellow that Courland's lacked. The Excoriator's armor was a mess of nicks and scratches, each one annotated in fastidious script detailing the manner and date of its earning. His exposed face was likewise abused, though stretches of skin not torn up by battle wounds ritually scarred. Courland's own armor was battered, and he would not repaint it until his vengeance was won. But whereas his oath was exceptional, born out of grief, the practice of the Excoriators to preserve all hurts done to them was strange to him, as were the rituals of the others in the fleet, the Black Templars, the Crimson Fists, and the Fists Exemplar. Brotherhood brought them here to the gathering of the Last Wall, the successors of the old Seventh Legion amassed again as terror was threatened. Despite their commonalities, 1,500 years had passed since the Seventh Legion had ceased to be, and these chapters, fathered by the same Primarch, had drifted far apart. Was this how the heresy began, Courland wondered? Brothers so distanced by circumstance that they ceased to recognize their own and turned on one another? The man beside him shared his genetic gifts and a deep history. For all that, he was more a stranger than a brother, someone to be greeted and fated at the Festival of Blades as an honored guest, but one whose mind Courland could never know. Surrounded by his warrior kin, the last of the Imperial Fists had never felt so alone, nor so exposed.
"So many of Dawn's sons gather together in one place," said Issachar. Beneath the fearsomeness that his damaged armor and scarification bestowed on him, Issachar was a considered man, and he spoke softly. "The power concentrated here halts my breath. Such an army, such a fleet. With it the stars are ours for the taking."
Issachar stepped closer to the armor glass of the window gallery and spread the fingers of one scratched gauntlet upon it, as if he would seize that power for himself. He smiled at Courland, the knotted tissue on his face distorting the expression into something ugly.
"That is why the legions are no more. And this is no legion," said Courland, "despite our numbers. At last count, we are 2,800 of the line of Rogel Dorn. The Fists Exemplar are much depleted. High Marshal Beaumont calls in his crusades, but they are scattered."
He left unsaid the fate of his own brothers, slaughtered at Adamantua.
5 companies of the Crimson Fists, 8 of your brothers.
"The rest will come," reassured Issachar. "We grow in strength daily. Soon the excoriators will be here in full, every last battle brother and neophyte. I swear this to you, the Iron Knights have responded to the call and make their way to join us.
And then what? How many can we count upon? If all our brothers answer the call, there will be fewer than 4,000 of us.
High Marshal Beaumont keeps his own chapter numbers a mystery. How many of them might come? And we have yet no word from the Soul Drinkers. They are secretive but honourable, and will have set out in force the moment they receive the call to the last wall.
So, 5,000 at best, said Corland. At the height of its power, the old Seventh consisted of over 100,000 warriors, and it was but one of 18 legions. How differently things would go, were it still so.
The breaking was done long ago, brother. That was then, and this is now. I have always honored the decision, as the Primarch eventually did. But lately I've come to see the other side.
Issachar gestured at the fleet.
Look at us, divided by tradition, overwhelmed by enemies, betrayed by the men set to rule over us. Unable to bring sufficient strength to bear to truly crush our foes, we push them out only for them to slink back when our attention is drawn elsewhere.